Hello, and welcome to The Truth Ministries. This is going to be part two of the podcast here, talking about evil. Thank you for joining me. My name is John, I'm your host. So a couple things we're going to talk about, pertaining to the end times and evil and the truth right in front of us that we still can't see, most of us. I say most of us because I see it. But because I see it, I'm labeled as a conspiracy theorist or a Bible beater or crazy or whatever. Whatever you want to say. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. I mean, at the end of the day, I know that what I know is fact, is truth, has been proven. So let's get to it, shall we? Give me one moment while I get started here. So, let's kind of piggyback off the last episode. We were talking about kind of pedophilia and minor attracted people and how we have, drag queens reading to our kids, and we're trying to normalize pedophilia. Really? I mean, that's what it is. So let's go here. Let's look at something. And this... The first thing I'm gonna talk about is it caused quite a disturbance in the household here. We were watching something on TV, and my daughter was looking up on her computer a Disney, and the age of Disney princesses and their male counterparts. You know, you have Snow White and Prince Florian. Or you have, I'm not a big Disney guy, forgive me, but Belle and the Beast and Rapunzel and Flynn Rider and so on and so forth, okay? So here's the thing. People don't think about this, but like Sleeping Beauty, okay? What's the basis, right? So she is sleeping, and in order to wake her up, it needs to be true love's kiss. So this guy comes in, kisses her while she's sleeping. All good, right? She wakes up, happy ending. It's all cute and everything. Okay, but you have a... This is what I look at. Okay, you have a girl who's sleeping. And Sleeping Beauty was 16. Okay? So, Sleeping Beauty was 16. And Philip, Prince Philip, the one that kissed her and, you know, saved her and all this stuff, was 20. Pedophilia. Okay. Then we have Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Belle was 17, falling in love with a beast, bestiality. Snow White was the youngest Disney princess at 14. Okay, 14. Her male counterpart was in his early 20s, pedophilia. Tangled, we have Rapunzel. Was 17 years old, and Flynn, the man who fell in love with her, was 26. Pedophilia. I mean, you can go on and on and on. This is... Jasmine from Aladdin was 15. Aladdin? Any guesses on Aladdin? 22. Pedophilia. Now, getting back to Beauty and the Beast, okay? So you have Belle was 17, right? And fell in love with the Beast. Now, some will argue, she did not fall in love with the Beast. Okay, fine. But, let's take this the other avenue. Belle was 17, okay? Who was the guy that absolutely loved her? Does anyone remember? Gaston? Remember the guy, that big, whatever, gruff exterior Gaston? Gaston is estimated to be somewhere between 30 and 40 years old. In love with a 17-year-old. Pedophilia. I don't understand why we don't see this. I don't understand why... we can look at these. I mean, even Mulan. Mulan was 16, and the guy in the army that liked her was 20. That's illegal, you guys. I mean, really? This is illegal. I'm not going to say every. Many of the Disney love stories throughout the ages have been illegal. But we let our kids watch it. Why? Because it's the wonderful world of Disney. But why? Does this not change things for you? See, this is what I was talking about. My daughter was looking this up the other night, and her and I were having a conversation in the living room about it. You know, Dad, did you know that this? And I'm like, I mean, last night I didn't know the age differences, but I wasn't surprised. And my wife got very offended because she's a huge Disney fan. She's got all the movies. She knows all the words to all the songs. Like, and it's nothing against her at all. She grew up with not being able to see the reality of it, but she fell in love with the storyline and the characters and this, you know, just everything that kids do. I mean, it's like you don't know what you don't know. And it was, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Just dismissed. Like, okay, you know, we don't really need to do this really, but you know, I mean, Moana was 16. So, I don't know. It's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. And we normalize it. We don't think anything of it because they're cartoons. But take a minute, you guys. Take a minute. And just look at the cartoon, right? I know it's a drawing. I get that. It's not real life people. But when you have these drawings, these cartoons, and you can clearly tell that they're their age range, you know, you can tell their range. Does it not seem weird that these young girls are involved with essentially grown men? That seems weird to me. Okay, that's part one. Okay, that's one thing I want to get out here with the truth. This is the truth ministry. This is me. This is calling it like it is. This is exposing evil, which Ephesians 5:11 talks about. If there's evil, expose it. Here I am. Talking about evil, end times, Antichrist, right? We've heard that term. So right now, nobody really knows who the Antichrist is yet, officially. However, biblical prophecy, scripture, and just basic paying attention, we should know that the Antichrist is here. He is alive. He is present in the world. He has not made himself known, but he is here. Okay? Personally, I've had my suspicions for the last year and a half or 2 years. I've kind of bounced around with, you know, reading scripture and what they describe the Antichrist as and trying to look around and see who that could fit. Now, like I said in the last podcast episode, I'm probably going to offend people, and that's okay. It is what it is. I'm not afraid of that. But if you pay attention to what scripture says, a lot of fingers point to Donald Trump as being the Antichrist. I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying a lot of people point to him as the Antichrist because of the way he is, the way he talks, the way he carries himself, what his plans are. I mean, everything, if you line it up with scripture, it's a lot of similarities. It's eerie, honestly. Personally, I don't put a ton of weight into that. Like I said, I'm not saying he is or isn't, but that's not who I've been thinking the last couple years. And I'm, for some reason, I'm kind of dead set on this. And like I said, I'm a person, I don't know for sure. This is not slander. I'm not trying to defame anybody. This is just an opinion based on what I've been observing. I believe the Pope will be the Antichrist. And I'm not saying Pope Francis. Okay, I did initially think that, but Here, this, and this is why I say that. I just, the Pope is already, as the position, you know, the closest to God. He's also part of the Catholic Church, which, if you don't know my views and my stance on the Catholic Church, listen to one of my other episodes. I believe the basic foundations of the Catholic Church are evil in itself. Just a lot of things about the Pope are just blasphemous. I don't really think. I don't really understand how people can worship him, because they do. They worship him. People worship the Pope. Why do they worship? That's one of the foundations for the Antichrist, that people will worship him. But here's the thing with Pope Francis, why I think it's not Pope Francis. If you pay attention to the Vatican and Pope Francis and kind of what's going on over there, his health has been declining rapidly, okay? He's almost 87 years old. He's having major health issues. You know, he's having some lung inflammation, some breathing problems. It's uncertain how long he's going to hold this title. They're already working on his replacement, okay? I feel strongly that his replacement will be the Antichrist. For a lot of different reasons. And, like I said, I might be wrong, but I do think the timing of everything is really suspicious. And being what the Pope believes and what his job is and historically and just everything around it. If you read the Bible and you read the description of what they're saying the Antichrist is, read that, and it, rather than thinking of the Antichrist, think about the Pope when you read that. Like, does this sound like the Pope? Okay. Does this sound like Donald Trump? Does this sound like someone that's not even named here? You know, people think that Nero was the Antichrist, or will be coming back as the Antichrist, which is possible. I mean, anything's possible. Who knows? I just feel that timing is very deliberate here. So that's something that I'm watching out for. Along with the other evil in the world. And this is not conspiracy theorist, guys, come on. This is facts, okay? Contrails. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I didn't mean contrails. I meant chemtrails. You guys know, you see, look up in the sky and you have all these white streaks. Or maybe they look like white cotton blanket in the sky. Not really clouds. Yeah. So what is that? And why is that? And why do people dismiss it so quickly? Like, it's one of those things, like, when you're not doing something you should be doing, you know, then it's like, we're quick to dismiss. So here's the facts. When a jumbo jet or an aircraft does fly through the sky, it does leave contrails, which are condensation, that's how you say it, trails. Okay, it's the balance between moisture and the dry air and all that stuff. So you see these long white streaks behind a jet. Okay, very normal, very common. The problem is, I love when you do a search and you type in contrails. It's very informative. This is what does it, and this is why it does it, and it's perfectly normal, and so on and so forth. When you type in chemtrails, the first thing that follows that word is conspiracy. Okay. So, chemtrails is essentially when they take an aircraft and they pump chemicals into the atmosphere. I believe it's aluminum sulfate is the primary chemical. But they pump it in the atmosphere and it disperses in this mist. It goes wide and it slowly comes to the ground as it spreads, as it travels. And the theory behind that is it is supposed to create somewhat of a filter from the sun so we don't heat up as much to avoid global warming. All right, whatever. But the other problem with this is, and this, you can call it conspiracy theory if you want, but if you actually look, There are several videos on YouTube where pilots will take you on a tour of their aircraft. They will show you the canisters that are attached. They will show you the containers that are in the plane. They will show you what's filled in those containers. They will show you the placard on it talking about the chemical that's in it. They will show you the book that matches that placard. There are videos that will walk you through facts, and there's no way to deny that. And they will talk about how much the government pays them for every gallon of chemical they disperse into the atmosphere. I watched this one video. This captain, he was a Delta captain, former Delta captain, retired. But there's good money in chemtrails, so he got involved with that. They'd load up these 55-gallon drums, all with hoses and everything inside the aircraft. Each drum, is X amount of dollars. So if he empties that, it's X amount of dollars for him, right? So there was this. I think he had 20 of those drums in there, and they measure everything when they load the aircraft, and then when he lands, they see what's left, so they can determine how much he actually dispersed, and they pay him outright. And it was good money in it. I'm talking thousands of dollars to make one flight and just disperse it. But here's the thing. The pilots that operate these planes wear oxygen filtration systems so they don't breathe the stuff in. Okay, so that in itself tells me that there's a problem here. That you are spreading the stuff in the atmosphere, which is another name for air that we breathe, but you won't breathe it. You're wearing a full filterized oxygen mask because there's toxicity in these chemicals. There's a combination. Each drum has a combination of water and chemical that is toxic. It has the toxicity tag on the barrels. You have to be certified to fly the plane. You have to be certified to disperse the chemical. You have to go through all this training. It's a legit thing, you guys. It's not a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy because people are trying to take the focus away from it. That, if people talk about it, they're crazy, they're nuts, don't look at it. They're going to keep doing it. So, what does this do? Okay, we talked about it. It's the majority of the stories you'll read are going to say, I help with global warming. First of all, they're denying it. They're saying, those are contrails. Those aren't chemical. But then a different article you read, it says, we do that for, the military does that to help with global warming. So, either you do it or you don't. Which one is it? Basically, this is the gist of it, okay, you guys? When they disperse that into the atmosphere, each plane will house hundreds of thousands of gallons, okay? It's a combination between aluminum sulfide and zinc cadmium sulfide. They chose that because of its size. It is extremely small, almost as small as germs, okay? It'll actually glow under ultraviolet light. So what's kind of neat is, it's not neat, believe me, but if you're outside and you see these up in the sky, and if it's a sunny day, you can actually see the sun reflecting off the particles. It kind of shimmers in the sky. Clouds don't shimmer, okay? Moisture from aircraft doesn't shimmer. So that's something to keep in mind. Initially, when they very first started doing this, they had to ensure that it was non-toxic because they didn't want, it's gravity, right? You disperse it out of the aircraft, it slowly falls through the atmosphere, the air we breathe, okay? It ends up landing on what? Trees, grass, gardens, fruits, fields, you name it. It lands everywhere. It had to be non-toxic because they don't want to kill thousands and millions of people, right? And what was happening is the more they did it, as it was non-toxic, it started to create cancer. And they did a lot. They did so many investigations to figure out what actually was causing the cancer. Was it the air we were breathing? Did it land on the crop from the farmer and that somehow you know, the chemical created cancer in her body. Did we get it that way? Then it started to look, they started getting this idea of using it as a biological weapon. So do you see how this is like snowballing here? The EPA published a 14-page document just talking about contrails and outlining the chemicals that are used by the Air Force, which is a separate entity, and these aren't chemtrails, these are contrails, okay, first of all, they're saying. You know, if there was a chemical being dispersed, that would only be used by the Air Force, it would only be used in third world countries, yada, yada, yada. Okay? So in 2021, there was a leaked document from the presidency that Joe Biden admitting to manipulating the weather through chemtrails, which caused a week-long freeze in February in Texas. If you guys remember, you can look that up. I'm not going to get into that too deeply. It happened, okay? That essentially went viral on social media. People were sharing it, and it went from Facebook to Instagram, Snapchat. I'm going to call it Twitter. I don't like calling it X. I think that's stupid, but I call it Twitter. You had 30% of Americans started questioning the facts of this. And that's where they entered into this conspiracy. Well, that's just a conspiracy. That never really happened. To try to knock off the skepticism. Okay? The problem with all of this is they're trying to hide the facts. Okay? There are people, you go back and forth. There are people that are saying there's no evidence that chemtrails even exist. Yet, you have actual pilots explaining that this is what I do, this is how this works. And a lot of them, their faces are blurred out for security purposes. Like, come on. You know, you got to understand, not everyone is stupid. Okay, people are going to find this stuff out. People are going to question. And you should question. If you don't question things, that is a problem. So, along with chemtrails going down and altering our ecosystems and our crops and the air we breathe, we have the FDA, Food and Drug Administration. We talk about how they govern pesticides and make sure everything's safe. And again, you guys question things. If this episode, you get nothing else out of it other than to question things, then I serve the purpose. So pesticides, right? They spray for pesticides to keep all the pests off our fruits and vegetables, crops, everything like that, so we don't take those bugs, right? The problem is once they spray the pesticides and it gets into the soil and all that kind of stuff, and they allegedly clean it off before they sell it for consumption, there is always, and they've done tests all over the place, all the time, there's always pesticides that remain on or in the fruits, vegetables, grains, and other foods that are harvested, transported, and exposed to light, washed, prepared, and cooked. Even if you cook the food, there's still pesticides that'll get into your system. But the FDA says, well, that's not enough to really make it unsafe. As far as I'm concerned, if I'm ingesting any pesticide, that is too much. I mean, call me crazy, but I shouldn't be ingesting pesticides. I don't, you know, big or small doesn't matter. So what happens when you get pesticides, okay? Pesticides are toxic to humans. That's out there everywhere, okay? That's common knowledge. But if it says, what happens if you ingest pesticides? FDA, okay? If you ingest pesticides, they say, first of all, what we do consume is not unsafe. And then they go on to say, it could possibly cause cancer, effects on your reproduction, immune system, or nervous system. No big deal, right? The problem is, how do you look for pesticides in your food? They've got names like Fluidox, Solnalol, and Pyrosolar. I can't even say these words. So how the hell are we supposed to know what's what, right? That's not even getting into bioengineered food. That's just talking about actual food. The problem with American actual food, real food, lettuce, tomatoes, strawberry, these sorts of things that come from the ground that are actually, you know, farmers plant and they harvest, right? We deal with that. But let's just say I want to go to the store, like, I have kids, right? So you want to get, you know, snacks and Oreos and you know, gummy bears or whatever you do. It doesn't matter. Please tell me, as a listener, as you're listening to this, please tell me you've heard of bioengineered food. Please tell me that. Because if you haven't, you've got to get on that and start looking into it. Bioengineered food was something that was kind of hush-hush for a very long time. But now, it's hiding in plain sight. They're putting labels on things. The bioengineered label is ridiculous. It shows us, it's a, like a clip art, but it shows the sun out with a crop coming out of the field, and it says bioengineered, and you're like, oh, that's nice. What is it, though? It's poison, bottom line. Okay, that's what you gotta know. It's poison, because what it is, it's fake food. It's food that's made in a laboratory with a bunch of chemicals and shit to make the food, and then they package it, sell it to the public, we buy it, we eat it, and it's not food. It's not food. It's chemicals that taste like food, that look like food, that smell like food, but it's not food. It's all fake. But it's okay from the FDA. They approved it. You know, the more I learn about the FDA and the CDC and the other entities with three letters to them or four letters to them, I've learned that they're all SHIT. Okay? They're all... Just avoid it. Just avoid it. These packages, if you've looked at... Go to your cupboard. I'll bet you $1 million in your cupboard right now, you have something that says on the back of it, contains a bioengineered food ingredient. Or has a symbol that says bioengineered. My favorite is this. When you get a QR code, right? That maybe it won't say bioengineered. Maybe it won't have the label. But it'll have a QR code on the back with nothing else around it. Okay, so I scan that QR code. You know what it does? It brings me to a web page that in bold letters it says, this is a bioengineered food. And it goes on to explain every shitty ingredient that is in that alleged food. They don't even tell you. Some companies don't even tell you it's garbage. They make you investigate it. They make you scan their QR code. Or there's another thing that they'll say, like, derived from bioengineering. Or ingredients derived from a bioengineered source. So what is derived, right? That means that it comes from something that was genetically modified. Anything you put into your body that says genetically modified, why would you put that in your body? And here's the scary part, guys. Here is the scary part. Go to the grocery store. Just go to the grocery store. Pick an aisle. Pick something out of that aisle. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. Look at the back. Look at the ingredients. And look and see if it says something about bioengineered or derived from or genetic material. Anything of those keywords, right? If they have the QR code, scan it. Check it out. I will guarantee you, you are going to struggle to find something that is not altered, modified, or bioengineered. They're making freaking steaks from a 3D printer, for God's sakes. Like, you can go to the store and buy a steak that came out of a 3D printer. It didn't even come from a cow. Oh, Hold on. The proteins in that printed steak came from cow cells. My bad. So it's fine. It's disgusting. The fact that the World Health Organization, or the WHO, again, the three letters, okay, World Health Organization, the CDC, the FDA, the USA is feeding us this shit. Our grocery stores are packed full of this garbage. And we wonder why we have a fat community, a fat society, an unhealthy society full of cancers and diabetes. Like, you know, if you go back, even like primitive, right? The humans in the primitive age were never fat. They were always very great physique, great health, great physical health. Because what did they eat? What did they survive? They didn't have bioengineered, chemically, you know, modified crap. Because they ate vegetables, berries, and animals. Animals that weren't injected with hormones or any of this other shit they put in them. I mean, it is hard. It is, I don't want to say impossible, but it is almost impossible to consume something in this day and age that has not had some sort of injection or manipulation done to it. It's not. And then when you realize that, it's almost like you realize what's in our food, you almost don't want to eat. It's like the more you realize, the less hungry you are, you know? The other thing, too, is this latest craze that they're doing. If you look at Tyson Meats, right? Have you heard about Tyson? The Tyson Foods? Well, again, here we go. Tyson Foods allegedly is putting insects into their products. But hold on. No, they're not. Fact checkers. Come on, guys. Fact checkers. No, we are not putting insects into products for human consumption. bullshit. Excuse me. They are, because the spokesperson from Tyson 4 months ago went live and said, we are not putting bugs in. We are just using natural proteins. Oh, okay. So here's an example, right? You get Tyson. They're very popular with their chicken nuggets, okay? Let's just use this as an example. Tyson chicken nuggets. Doesn't chicken already have protein in it? I mean, I thought it did, but clearly it's not enough. So Tyson is taking chicken nuggets. Well, and that's not just it, okay? So for example, let me just run through some of the companies that Tyson governs, okay? Hillshire Farms is a part of Tyson. Sara Lee is a part of Tyson. Jimmy Dean is a part of Tyson. Ballpark, all your great plump hot dogs, part of Tyson. State Fair brand, the original Philly. It goes on and on, okay? So what they're doing is they are not putting bugs in your food, you guys. That's disgusting. That's a conspiracy theory comment. What they're putting in is natural protein, such as Acetta domesticus. Okay, look that up once. Because when I look up Acetta domesticus as a natural protein, layman's terms is crickets. So you're not putting bugs in your food. You're just putting the scientific genus name on your label, so we think it's a protein. What about Tenebrio molitor? That's another protein they're putting in. That's a mealworm, you guys. What about Locusta migratora? Yeah, that's a grasshopper. So don't bullshit us, okay? Don't say you're not doing something and then change it to a fancy scientific name so people aren't going to know. And granted, they're not taking a grasshopper and putting it in the food. That's not what it is. But what they're doing, and if you've ever watched the show How It's Made, this is a great opportunity to look this episode up, because this is actually on the episode. It's in China, of course, but they are moving it. Tyson is taking, if you read this article, Tyson is taking a lot of what China does and implementing it here because of cost, you know, cost issues. Proteins from bugs are, there's so much more bugs than there are, you know, beef or chicken. So they can get a lot more protein by using bugs, and it's next to nothing. You know, instead of using a cow, they can just use bugs. It's cheaper. But what they end up doing, guys, is you watch this, how it's made. It's fantastic. They get all these bugs. They put them all in a sheet pan and put them in an oven and dry them all out. When they're dry and dead, then they pulverize them into a powder. Okay? And then they dry the powder, get all the moisture out of the powder. So essentially, you have very similar to like a protein powder. It's just this powder. But it's crickets and mealworms and grasshoppers and whatever the hell else they decide to put in it. But it looks like a white, you know, off-white colored powder. And when they make Hillshire Farm, you know, ham or Jimmy Dean sausage, ballpark hot dogs, they mix all the stuff in this just absolutely massive container, and they start dumping this powder, protein powder, into it, mix it all up. So here's the thing, bottom line, you're not going to taste crickets, mealworms, or grasshoppers, for example. You're not going to taste it. But it's going in your body, you guys. And Tyson is not the only one. He's the only one I picked on today. You can fall down that rabbit hole if you choose. Many companies are doing it. Okay? Many companies. But, again, if you try to look this stuff up, words like misleading or false claims or fact check, these all pop up, which if you've been around long enough, you know that anything that's fact checked to be false is typically true. And like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist on this. I'm not trying to spread any rumors or falsehoods, but you can look this stuff up. Just because one article says it's false, check another one. Okay, the media is misleading. The media is an enemy. The media is evil. It tells us. Think about it this way. Okay, Tyson wants you to eat their food because they make a profit, right? The more food of theirs you eat, the more profit they get. Are they going to come out and say, oh, yeah, we absolutely put bugs in our food? They're going to go bankrupt. No one's going to eat that. No one's going to buy that. They have to say, no, we don't put bugs in here. Are you guys crazy? Come on. But they do, okay? Bottom line, they do. Read labels, okay? Go online, find out what the scientific genus name is for various bugs, like, you know, crickets, mealworms, grasshoppers, ants, whatever. Just jot them down, put them in your pocket, go to the grocery store. You want to buy something, just look at the ingredients. Make sure it doesn't say one of those things on it, okay? Just take care of yourself. That's all I'm saying. USDA approves all this stuff, guys. It's unreal. Absolutely unreal. So, this brings me to my segue into what I have kind of begun doing just in my own personal life and my own education. I have started foraging. And if you don't know what foraging is, it's essentially where you go out, even to your backyard, and you gather wild plants, wild food for free. Okay? Now, my wife will be appalled when she finds out, if she finds out that I said this out in public, because I am like the weirdest person, she thinks. And my kids think I'm crazy when I go out, you know, I'll walk out in the backyard and I'll grab a dandelion and I'll eat it. Or I'll go to my pine tree and grab some pine needles off and I'll eat it. And like my dad, you know, dad's lost his mind. Here's the thing, guys. Yeah, it's super weird in 2024. But Native Americans who have lived on this land for ages, that's how they survived. I mean, I can walk out my back door in the town that I live in, and I can walk out 10 feet and pull wild lettuce out of my grass. Legit wild lettuce that has no pesticides in it, I mean, I'm taking my chances with the chemtrail, but wild lettuce, you guys. Did you know that there's, you can get books on this stuff if you're not sure what to look for, what to get. Foraging is not only for human consumption, it is highly, highly nutritious. It doesn't taste bad, to be quite honest with you. I'm learning that it's really not as bad as you might think. And it's also medicinal. So you don't have to do, you know, chemicals with pills and junk like that. And did you know, check this out. Here, go ahead and make $1 billion. Cure cancer. Do you want to know what cures cancer? Yeah, chemo, radiation. No. God, two things that have been proven scientifically to kill cancer cells. Apricot seeds. Okay, dry them out, roast them, season them, eat them. Apricot seeds has been proven to kill cancer cells. They've watched it do it. Another thing, red clover. What is red clover? Look it up, okay? Similar to white clover. It grows in your backyard, grows in the woods, grows in the weeds, grows on the side of the road. Red clover is everywhere. It's like this little raspberry-colored flower with some leaves on it, okay? Red clover kills cancer cells, you guys, and it's in your backyard. That is why this is so effed up, that this is so ridiculous, that there's stuff right in front of us that God provided. God gave us everything we could possibly need. And instead of just harvesting it, we're going out of our way. We're paying hundreds of extra dollars for shit that's just destroying us. Why? Like, did you know a dandelion, and you're right, people hate them, right? They spray for them. They can't stand them. The entire dandelion, from the very top of the yellow flower to the taproot down below, is completely edible. The whole thing. You can eat the whole thing. It's ridiculously nutritious. Like, it will sustain. You can eat it a bunch of different ways. You can eat it raw, right out of the ground. A lot of people use it like it's fish. They'll bread it, and they'll fry it, and they'll eat dandelion flour, you know, fried dandelion heads. They're very good that way. You can take the root and boil it. And then once you boil it, you just filter it into a water like a tea. And it will cure, you know, bladder infections. It'll clear upset stomach. It'll cure... just, God, so many things. I could go on. I mean, with one single dandelion plant, you can do so much. Mullein grows in weeds along railroad tracks. That stuff's great. Like, you talk about if you have a cold, flu, bronchitis, it cures all that stuff. And it's a freaking wild plant that people cut and mow down. You can eat an entire pine tree. Did you know that? Do I sound crazy? Yeah, I do. But at the same time, it's crazy not to know this stuff. Especially when you have all this bioengineered shit that they're feeding us in our stores, that we're paying $4 for a box of Cheez-Its that are bioengineered. We're paying $6 for a container of Oreo cookies that are an obsession in my house. Oreo cookies, you pay like $5 or $6 for a package. It's all bioengineered. It's all genetically modified. It's all toxic. So I'm going to spend $6 and consume all that toxicity and run my risk of getting cancer or other ailments, or I can just eat what God provided. I mean, it comes down to the bottom line of, who do you follow? Do you follow man, or do you follow God? And I'm not saying you gotta survive off grass in your backyard. That's not what I'm saying, okay? So if that's what you've got out of this, you gotta reevaluate, dude. But I'm saying, in my backyard, I don't have to go into the woods. I don't have to go hiking. I don't have to go to some crazy nature preserve. I go to my backyard where my kids play. And as when you know what to look for, like I got some weeds, I got some burdock out in the back. And burdock looks a lot like rhubarb, but the plants and stalks are poisonous. So that's why you got to be careful in determining the two. But burdock root, is great in a tea. You can grind it up into a powder and mix it into food. You can roll it and smoke the, you know, smoke the burdock root, and it soothes muscles, soothes aches and pains, sore back, headaches. It's this, to learn this stuff, you guys, is absolutely, it's phenomenal. It's super interesting. And it's healthy. It'll completely revamp your entire internal system. You'll feel better, you'll look better, you have more energy. Get rid of the garbage that's feeding us and find out what God intended. He says in Genesis, the seeds of the earth is for our consumption. Seed of the earth. Okay, so he seeded the earth with everything. I mean, like I said, you can eat an entire pine tree. The inner bark of a pine tree, if you boil it, like on a griddle, sort of a little bit of water, just kind of sizzle like you would bacon, for example, it turns into like a really nutritious, healthy, high protein, high fiber jerky. It's great. It tastes really sweet, actually. So look into foraging if this is something that sounds like it might interest you. And I'm not saying, you know, go to your local park and start eating trees, because then you're going to probably go to the mental house. But look into this kind of stuff, okay? Look into alternatives. And I'm not like a, I don't know, those essential oils. I don't know what I think about those. That's kind of along the same lines. There's a part of me that does believe. The more I learn about this stuff, you know, the more I am kind of believing that. But that's still out for determination. But get yourself a book, Foraging for Beginners. There's a ton of them out there. There's a lot of, you know, pictures. Match a picture. Or a great thing, if you have a smartphone, get Google Lens. Go out there, take a picture of a weed or a flower, and then Google Lens will tell you what that is. What is it used for? Is it medicinal? Is it nutritious? What you can, you know. I went out and I found this little itty bitty blue flower in my yard. I took a picture of it. Turns out it's Creeping Charlie, right? Most people are like, oh, I hate Creeping Charlie. Get that stuff out of here. Creeping Charlie's edible. You can put the flower in a tea. It has a beautiful aroma, and it has like a fruity tasting tea that helps clean out your entire digestive system. You don't know about this stuff unless you look into it, but I would suggest looking into it, because with the evil that we have right now, I mean, I'm just going to point out the obvious. Bioengineered food, chemtrails, pesticides, 1 + 1 = 2, guys. They're trying to kill us off. Population control. Bill Gates said it himself. When was that? The late 90s, early 2000s, he did a TED Talk kind of a thing. And talked about by the year 2030, we were going to have half the population, and he was figuring out a way to do it. I don't know why he said that in a talk, because most people would in one ear out the other, but you had a couple people going, hold on a second, what are you talking about? Just pay attention, educate yourself, okay? Educate yourself. If you can, support farmers markets, okay? You're going to benefit greatly from that. Stay out of stores if you're at all possible. I know it's easier said than done, even in my own case. You go online, if you're looking for meat, chicken, beef, pork, that kind of thing, go online, look into like Butcher Block, Good Shop, that kind of thing. No antibiotics, no pesticides, no shots, nothing like that. It's all grass-fed, free-range, healthy food. And you can tell the difference. Like, we subscribe to a box like that where every month we get a box of meat that gets delivered. I can go to my local grocery store. I can get like a $17 ribeye steak. Compare it with the $8 ribeye steak I got from the box, and they look completely different. The ribeye steak I get from the box is actually deep red in color. It's got some nice marbling to it. The one I get from the grocery store is like a pink color, because it's injected with all these preservatives to keep it fresh in a grocery store longer. The one you get from the box, they butcher the animal, they package the meat, they send it out. It's fresh. You get what you pay for. Invest in your body. Invest in yourself. This is the only body you get. God gave you this container for your soul to live in. So don't stress, man. Don't feed it full of crap and toxic and poison, because that's weighing you down. Think about what God wants for you. What would God do? What would Jesus do? Invest. Eat the decent food. All right, we're going to come full circle. I'm going to wrap this up by bringing up one more thing, okay? We talked in the last episode about pedophilia and drag queens reading to kids and such. And I brought up the question of what would Jesus do, right? The hard part is, and I've said I'm a sinner, and I don't make the right choices, and I ask for God's guidance every single day. But I will tell you, the way I'm built, the way I'm programmed, the way I was raised, my morals, values, beliefs, if anybody pursues my kid, and I find out that this happened with my kid, I will absolutely raise hell. I have no filter. I have no reservations. I have no fear. Case in point, look at this podcast. Look at what we talk about on this podcast. I have no fear. Okay? I had a really good friend of mine. I'm actually going to pull this up quick because I think it's interesting. I have a really good friend of mine.